Welcome to the Insights and Innovators podcast from Market Research Institute International, where top research professionals share practical insights and innovation strategies to help researchers deliver more business impact and earn their strategic seat at the table. Today's episode is sponsored by Question Pro. Question Pro is the web-based software for creating and distributing surveys. With our intuitive wizard interface, digital distribution of surveys, and tools for analyzing and viewing results, Question Pro delivers answers in real time. Now here's your host for today's episode.
Ravi Parmeswar is an accomplished customer experience marketing analytics leader who's enjoyed a seat at the strategic table, fostering transformational growth for global Fortune 100 organizations, including Kraft Foods, Campbell Soup, Citigroup, Coca-Cola, and Johnson & Johnson. He joins Insights and Innovators to share what he has learned over a distinguished career and its implications for today and tomorrow's industry leaders. I'm John Lass, president of Sports and Leisure Research Group and past president of MRII. In this episode, we're going to speak with a visionary who has led evolution and growth for several of the most revered Fortune 100 organizations. I'm pleased to welcome Ravi Parmeswar onto today's episode of Insights and Innovators. Ravi, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Well, thank you so much, John. The pleasure is all mine.
So I want to dive right in. So much that we can talk about and unpack. And you've had just a fascinating and storied career where your leadership has really enabled Insights to add and demonstrate added value to some of the world's most revered brands. And as you look at today's business landscape, what are some of the immutable skills and perspectives that can make an Insights professional really effective?
That's an interesting question, frankly, and it's kind of evolving as we speak. And I think it's a super important area for us to go ahead and focus on. Number one, I think, you know, we all start off a career embedded in some kind of a vertical or a technical expertise that we base on. But I do think what's ever more important these days, especially for the insight function, because we have access to so much more diverse information, whether it's consumer needs or customer and channel, and our competitors, the way in our sales information, our P&L information, that we have a unique position to go ahead and add significantly more value by better integrating all of these to look for those patterns, look for those insights that frankly nobody else in the organization has, you know, the capacity or at least the viewpoint to do that. So I do think that it's ever so important for us to go ahead and look at our skill sets in terms of looking at soft skills and hard skills. From, you know, a soft skills perspective, first thing I would say is number one would be the ability to go ahead and influence. And we could talk a little more about what that might look like. The second biggest thing is more of the end-to-end thinking rather than just going ahead and looking at a silo and a sliver. How best can we go ahead and look broadly and integrate and tell that story, like I said, which nobody else can really kind of tell better than we can. And the last but not the least is the curiosity and that innate something in you that always wants to know why and how things work. And then one more thing I want to add, which is, and I've learned from making mistakes in my career, you know, which is humility. You know, always, you know, we're not the brightest, we're not the sharpest. Always having that, you know, thing that you may not know everything, and the humility to go ahead and understand other people's perspective.
All really good things to bring to the table. I want to step back a bit, though, and I want to talk for those who maybe aren't as familiar with your considerable achievements and career path. Reflect a little bit on some of the key highlights. There's an expression I always like to use. I wish I had come up with it myself, but it's called 2% moments. It basically means that if they were making a movie about our careers or our lifetimes, the 2% is what would make it into the final cut. What are your 2% moments after a really, really varied career?
The number one thing I would go ahead and say, and by the way, that's a great way to frame a question. I never thought of it of a 2% while making a movie. I think it's a marvelous way to think about it. So my 2%, frankly, would be, number one would be the career changes I've made have come a significant risk, but that has built a lot more, immunity in me, if you will, and I've learned a lot from having done that. So the one thing on the 2% is the risk I've taken in terms of making the career move from the oil industry to R&D in the food industry to research, moving from, you know, Campbell's to Coca-Cola, the global job, moving to the financial institutions such as Citibank. I think that experience, looking back, has been something that's really made me who I am. So that would be one of the 2%. And the second thing I would say is the ability to, or when I look back, you know, the foresight of wanting to go ahead and transform our organization in a way that we always future-proof ourselves. I think those would be the 2 things.
Yeah, and obviously in those positions, you've had the opportunity to manage a lot of people. Let's talk a little bit about leadership. I mean, leadership has certainly evolved, particularly in lockstep with some of the cultural and generational shifts that we all deal with in managing our teams. You've not only been a pioneer in developing and deploying complex business processes, but you've also been really foresightful in identifying and fostering those soft skills that you mentioned before that are really necessary to be an effective leader. How do you balance those two, and what advice might you have for the next generation of leaders in our industry?
The number one thing I would go ahead and say, what's worked for me, and I think is even more important these days in terms of the rate of change and, you know, technology and everything around us. The number one thing would be to continuously reinvent yourself every 3 to 5 years. Learn a new skill every 3 to 5 years. It doesn't have to be hard skill, even soft skill. But if you're not necessarily doing that, I would almost suggest that you take 10% of your time every day to go ahead and focus on things of what can I learn something new today? What can I apply today? What can I experiment with? I think that is super critical in terms of going ahead and looking at how to prove ourselves, to future-proof ourselves in this career. The second would be to take more risk, experiment more, keep what's working, discard what's not, with a constant urge to go ahead and try and experiment. And the last but not the least, which is also great, very important, is make sure that you cultivate people around you, especially when you look at leaders around you, people who would serve as your advocate as you kind of go through your career.
I think one of the things you mentioned a few moments ago that we share, you talked about being proactive and looking into the future. When we think about implementing organizational design, and we think about how the research profession and the insights profession has changed, you know, we started back in the day, I think both of us have been experienced with fusing traditional market research with transactional data. That's something that in the sports and leisure industry that I work in has always been really important because there's been so much really excellent transactional information. There's the strategic planning side of it, which gets us that seat at the table to be more than just deliverers of information. Today, we're adding components, whether it be AI or other technological innovation. And you know, we look around and there's always these people reinventing themselves or trying to create these seminal disruptive forces. What do you see as the secret sauce moving forward? What's real? What's more sizzle than substance? And how do organizations, as they become leaner and stakeholders want more immediate and consistent return on their insight investment, what do they need to focus on? Long question, I realize, but a lot to unpack there.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of questions there. I think one of the things you've talked about, I think, is super important. And as I kind of reflect back on, you know, I think there's always a lot of hype whenever you have something, a new technology or a new thing that tends to be more disruptive. I can go back and look at my days in the oil business, and I won't date myself, but then there was not a single expert who didn't predict that the world is going to be out of oil in the next 30 years. I move on and I looked at, you know, microwave ovens coming into the homes, and the prediction was that the way we cook at the kitchens of the future is going to change and everything's going to change drastically. We look at brick and mortar and online sales, the same thing, brick and mortar is dead. So the point being is, I think whenever something new happens, there's an innate tendency to go and overstate the impact. Having said that, though, when you go and look back at each one of those, you know, examples that I mentioned, they did significantly change the trajectory of how we conduct business and how we conduct our lives. So I think it's super important for us to go ahead and be able to separate the wheat from the chaff. And the only way I think that we all can do it is to go ahead and make sure that we are continuously redefining the future, taking in the using a more of a continuous planning concept. In that, you know, you could predict a certain thing today, but what has changed tomorrow that'll impact that certain, that forecast? And doing that on a more continuous basis, I think keeps you more in touch with reality. And frankly, I don't think anybody can predict what's going to happen 5 years from now exactly. It would be more of an accident than a prediction, if you will.
Kind of reminds me of that old adage, you know, even the hands of a clock that have broken are correct twice a day. Let's talk about another phenomenon. I mean, certainly business has become more global. The barriers are down. You know, one could argue, you know, particularly in the political climate that we're in now, there's a lot of things that are in flux. But no doubt in working in large organizations or for large organizations, there is that need to bring, I think, a unique perspective that you have into working across cultures. And I think, you know, as we talk to the people that are earlier in their careers, what advice do you have about how that manifests itself today? How can today's research providers and clients learn from you in terms of cross-cultural interactions?
Got it. And you make an excellent point. I think there's never been in the history of mankind where the world has been so connected as it is today. So whatever happens, I remember the old days, you know, when color TVs first came in, it took about 20 years or 30 years for it to go ahead and migrate from more developed economy to the emerging economy. And that's no longer true. Things happen instantaneously now. So if the ability to go ahead and understand the cultural differences and then is super important. Having said that, though, I think now the differences that we had in the past, I think, are less so just because of the globalization and the instant communication that we all have. I think it's important to go ahead, and the consumer is always local and will continue to go be local. So for us to go ahead and keep that in the back of the mind all the time, especially now access to data at the individual and the household level, is a heck of a lot easier to go ahead and do that. It's super important to understand the micro segments and the precision marketing, if you will, that we all are using every day in our media world, and extend that to all the other things that we do in terms of understanding people and not just targeting them. So I think data allows us to go ahead and do that more effectively now. Automation is a super helpful tool that we need to go ahead and leverage more. And obviously, you mentioned AI. All of that goes ahead and helps us in doing that job of identifying individuals as individuals and not groups and segments, heck of a lot better than we ever worked to do in the past.
Yeah, it's funny. I find in some of the verticals that we specialize in, even with the macro level trends that an industry seems to embrace, it becomes even more critical to be what we call hyper-local in understanding the nuances of that specific business or that specific marketplace. And that breaks down even more granularly, as you just described. I want to shift for a moment, though, to kind of the antithesis of that 2% moment conversation we had. And we all think back to the careers we've had, and I'm sure there's been a few instances where you may have wished that you could have done something differently. If you could go back and provide advice to your earlier career self based on some of these things, what do you wish you knew then that you know now?
You know what? Hindsight is always 20/20, and I think it's a good habit to kind of reflect back and see what worked and what didn't work. You know, for me, when I go back and look at what didn't work, gosh, where do I start? It's a long list. But if I go ahead and look at it, I would say number one would be, I wish I had built my IQ a little sooner in terms of the ability to go ahead and influence people, the ability to go ahead and understand, you know, how do you go, what makes people tick? I'm talking about within the organization.
Right.
I think that one, I was a little late on learning that and made some mistakes as kind of progressed through my career. The second thing I think is I learned a little late that intellectual arrogance, just because you may think you're smart and you know all the things that you do know, is something that gets in the way of you being more effective. And it's important to recognize that every single person, irrespective of their background or the understanding of math or AI or whatever tools, they have unique skills that they bring in, and that makes them successful. And for us to recognize what, you know, recognize that is super important. While we all need to go ahead and ground ourselves and do what we do best, understand our strength and always build on our strength and not necessarily build on our weakness, it's important to understand in other strengths, which may not be yours. And I think that part of it, I learned a little later, but wish I'd done that before.
Yeah, now you mentioned it's a really good point, particularly about kind of reading the room and understanding and empathizing with other people in an organization who come at it from different vantage points. It's funny, our mutual friend Stan Sanonathan and I have talked a number of times about getting that seat at the table, and it always brings back a story to me about, I remember through after finishing my first year of graduate school, going into an organization and wanting to deploy all of these sophisticated techniques. And some of the people were a little bit frightened and intimidated by that. So like the advice was just tell them you're a good guesser and then you can kind of get along on a more casual and less intimidating basis. Anyway, we're almost at the end of our time. I want to conclude with perhaps an unfair question, particularly given the comment you made a few moments ago, and that is looking into the future. I totally concur that it's hard to even think 5 years ahead, but forcing you to do so and thinking about where the research profession and the insights profession is moving, what do you envision being different about the industry and what's going to stay the same if we were to go 5 or 10 years ahead? Any I guess you'd want to venture on that?
Absolutely. I think the second part of the question is easy to answer. So I think what would stay the same is the focus on understanding the consumer is never going to change. Brands and companies that understand consumers and help meet their life stages and help meet their, you know, it's broader than just needs. It's essentially how do you go ahead and surround them in a way that helps them making life decisions. And I think that's not going to change at all. So that's something that's going to be constant. But how we do that is going to change drastically. And I hope it changes drastically, because if it doesn't change, there's a danger of us being obsolete, or if we don't change, there's a danger of it being obsolete. So I do think of future, and I know we all talk about data and I'd be sick and tired of hearing that word. And, you know, everybody's focused on data strategy and investing in analytics and AI. But I think these kinds of tools that allows us to go ahead and get information in real time at a personal level is what is going to change the way we go ahead and drive better connection with consumers, which means the skill sets that we need to have are totally different than what it is right now. And I think it's a significant, drastic move, not just an incremental move. So we need to go ahead and reflect that in our organization, where we bring in the diversity of skill sets that needed in order to go ahead and, you know, survive in the new world of where everything is going to be instantaneous, everything is going to be data driven, everything is going to go ahead and be in snippets. And whichever brand and company that does that better, I think is the ones that are going to win.
Great things to think about, and always insightful to get your perspective. I'm sure we could chat for another 40 minutes if time allotted, but we'll stop right here. And thank you so much, Ravi, for being part of Insights and Innovators.
Oh, not at all. Thank you so much, John, for the opportunity. And like you said, there's so much more to discuss. Hopefully some other opportunity, we can talk in depth about a few of them.
To be continued. Thanks again for listening.
Thanks for joining the Insights and Innovators podcast from Market Research Institute International. Click subscribe to never miss an episode and visit us at mrii.org for more market research insights.